We're on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we started the sugya v'boilehu. Let's just summarize the sugya as we saw it. There were two possibilities of understanding the way that Tashlumei Truma is paid. So we're talking about a Zar who eats Truma, let's say he eats a bishogeg. He has to pay a keren v'chomesh, and he's mafrish peros, and they in turn become truma. Is it l'fi mida hu mishalim or l'fi domim mishalim? Does he pay according to the volume, or does he pay according to the value? So the Gemara says that there are two scenarios. We call it inflation and devaluation. Case number one is where it went down in value. In other words, at the time that the Tzar ate the Truma, and basically he's a gazlan, he stole Truma from a Kohen, it was worth 4 zuzi. Now, when he comes to pay for it, it's only worth 1 zuz. So if he gives the same volume to replace that which he stole, then the Kohen would lose 3 zuzim. In such a case, we have a principle called Hagazlanim Mishalim Ke'en Kishas HaGzela. So certainly, whether it's Mezid or Shogig makes no difference, he has to pay the full value as the Truma was worth it at the time that he stole the Truma, which means 4 Zuzim. That's the case where it went down in value. But our issue is going to be when it went up in value. So it was only worth a zuz at the time that he ate it. Now it's worth 4 zuzim. If you're going to maintain l'fi mida mishalim, then he's going to be basically giving a profit to the Kohen, because the Kohen took a loss of 1 zuz, but now he's getting paid 4 zuzim. But if you say l'fi dami mishalim, and we have a principle that kol gazlonim mishalim k'shas hagzela, then he only has to pay that 1 zuz as it was worth at the time that he ate it. So we're up to now, and this is where we want to start our learning today, is Omer Rav Yosef. So let me just tell you where that is. Omer Rav Yosef is approximately, let's see how many lines down from the top. The first of the wide lines, about 10 lines down from the top. Omer Rav Yosef Toshma. So we have a raya, we have a proof from a brisa. The brisa says the following. Ochal grogros. The Tzar ate figs. Usually grogros are dried figs, because the te'eno is in its natural state, and then they dry it up on the top of the roof. And grogros are worth less on the market per volume than dates are worth. Vishilem lo tmarin. And the Tzar is now a good Samaritan, so to speak, and he gives to the Kohen something of greater value than what he originally stole from the Kohen. He gives him tmarim, and therefore tavol of bracha. He should be blessed because he's more than rectifying his sin. He's giving something of greater value. It's much easier to sell tomorrow on the market than it is to sell dried figs. So now let's analyze this. The Gemara says the following. If you're going to tell me that he's going to have to give the exact volume of what he ate, so then let's compare it. A volume of tomorrow is worth much, much more than the same exact volume of figs. Amtulahachi means therefore, tavol of bracha, he should be blessed. The achil griva, griva is like a generic term for a certain measure, you know. So griva means a mida of. I mean, some of Farshim say it's actually a kav, which is a certain specific volume of dry food. But let's go with the simple pshat, that griva means a certain measurement. Whatever that measurement is, it changes from case to case. So he ate a certain measurement of grogros, and he's replacing that same measurement, that same volume, with tmarim. So if you took on a scale, you put on one side of the scale, you put you put figs, and on the other side of the scale you put dates, and the scale equilibralized, so you have the same volume, is then Kayoev Griva de Tmarim, he's giving the same volume of dates, the Shavyar Ba. In other words, at that volume, figs sell at 1 zuz, and at the same volume, Tmarim sells at 4 zuzim. So the Kohen now is making a major profit. So that's called Tavel of Bracha, meaning he's more than making up for what he, you know, what damage he and loss he caused the Kohen. If you hold that we're not going to ask him, the Kohen who ate, I'm sorry, the Tzar who ate the Truma, to replace it with the same volume, but rather just replace it with the same value, is Amai Tovol Bracha. Because we're going to evaluate, well, shots up the loss to the Kohen is 1 zuz, right? He ate a fig, figs to the tune of 1 zuz. He's going to now pay Tmarim to the tune of 1 zuz. He's not going to give him the same value. You follow, we had the scale before. He's not going to give the equal volume in Tmarim because he pays Lefi Damim. He's only using Tmarim as the medium for payment, but the value is identical. Is Zuza Achal, Zuza Kamashalim? If you hold Lefi Damim, you don't have to return the volume, but rather its value. And in that case, the Kohen took a loss of 1 zuz, and he got back in return 1 zuz. He offset his loss, but he didn't make any profit. So if you hold lefi mido mishalem, then the Kohen made a tremendous profit. Why? Because you're going to give the same volume, the same weight, so to speak, of dates as the weight of figs that he ate. And Tmarim is the ratio and market value per volume of dates to of figs to dates is 1 to 4. The Kohen is a happy camper here. He made a profit on the deal. But if you say Lefi Damim, we're not going to evaluate the weight and the volume, just how much it's worth. So what difference does it make if he paid him with Tmarim or he paid him with figs? They both have the same exact market value. Amar Abayi, L'olam Lefi Damim Misham. You have no proof. Einachinami is going to pay him 1 zuz worth of Tmarim. But 1 zuz worth of Tmarim is more valuable than 1 zuz worth of figs. How could that be? And the answer is, Amai Tovol Abrach, what's the great act of the Good Samaritan? He says, the Ochal Midi Delokof It's Alei Zvine. I mean, if the Kohen wants to sell it on the market, there's a very limited market for figs. You know, people are not standing online to buy figs. But Kamashalim, what the Tzar is now giving back to the Kohen is meaning the Kofetz Alei Zvine. He's giving him dates. It's true that the ultimate price that these two will bring in, whether it's figs or dates, is identical. But the hassle of having to try to sell figs as opposed to the easy, you know, there's so many buyers out there that are waiting online to buy dates, you'll have no problem finding yourself a buyer. So therefore, the Kohen gets a certain benefit here by receiving Tmarim instead of the figs that he lost. Because the Kohen, if he wants to sell these Tmarim, will have no problem to do so. It's no hassle. So therefore, he's much happier receiving Tmarim than he would be receiving Grogros, which means figs, which are very hard to sell. And therefore, Tavolov Bracha. So at the end of the day, the Gemara Abai says that there's no proof from the Brisa that Lefi Mida Mishalim. And this all, everything that we've been doing since yesterday, is an introduction to the next piece of Gemara that we're about to learn now. And that brings us back to Chometz BePesach. So I'm just going to take a quick break here. And I'll make a bracha, brachato Adinoi, Lehenim El Cholam Shakol, Nehe Bidvaro. Okay. So the Gemara says, if you have a doubt, if you're vacillating whether it's Lefi Damim Mishalim or Lefi Mida Mishalim, let's learn our Mishnah. Tnan, the Mishnah establishes that if a Zar ha'ochel trumas chametz v'pesach b'shogeg, so what was the status of this truma? It was chametz b'pesach. And you and I would have said, well, wait a minute, what's the value here? What's the loss to the Kohen? How much is this truma evaluated at? What's the price And the market price for this truma. And what's the answer of Osai? Zero. Why? Because chametz v'pesach is osur b'hanoah. And yet the Mishnah says Mishalim Karen v'chomesh. It means that we look at the tashlumin of a zar shachal truma v'shogeg in a whole different way. We don't look at it as under the laws of gzela and how much of a loss did he cause to the kohen in this case, but rather we evaluate it in terms of midah. Of midah, in other words, just replace what you took. That's what Gemara says now. Iamrit bishlema lefi midah mishalim. If you're telling me that the chiyuv on the part of the czar who ate truma b'shogeg is to replace that which he took, the actual physical volume of it, and that means that the nature of this tashlumen that the Torah imposed upon the czar is not gzela, he's not paying back for gzela, but rather he's trying to achieve kapara. Is sharper than the Mishnah makes sense that even though the chametz is valueless, but nevertheless he took a volume of truma that he ate, and now he has to replace that volume. That's called the fi midah mishalim, and it doesn't matter whether the midah that was lost was valuable or not valuable. Even if it's chametz with pesach, which is also about noah, nevertheless the only way you could achieve a kapara for the sin of taking a kohen's truma and eating it. Again, b'shogeg is by replacing the volume of truma that you took. But ela iamrit lefi domim mishalim chametz b'pesach bar domimu. The Gemara asks that as a rhetorical question. How can you say lefi domim, meaning replace its value, because this is the value in dollars and cents that the kohen lost? You know, that's what he suffered that loss. Well, in the case of chametz b'pesach, he didn't suffer any loss. Any loss whatsoever. So at this point, the Gemara seems to have an open and shut case here that our Mishnah proves that the Zar Shachal Truma B'Shogeg pays Lefi Midah. He pays Lefi Midah. Otherwise, in Chametz and Pesach, there would be, it's not Shaykh to talk about Lefi Damim. So the Gemara says, no, I can reject this proof as well. There's a whole other way of interpreting our Mishnah. You're right that lefi damim mishalim and this trumas chametz has a value, but only if we attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Omar chametz bePesach muter b'hanoah. Correct. Remember that Rabbi Yossi Aglili derived from who remembers what pasuk or one word in a pasuk. Lecha, excellent. For the extra word lecha, he derives shalachem, that you own the chametz, meaning you're allowed to benefit from the chametz. We tried to rack our brains and figure out exactly how you can destroy the chametz and yet benefit from it. But okay, you can benefit from the chametz. If you can benefit from the chametz, then it has monetary value. In which case, the kohen is the proud owner of trumas chametz because it has a value. Now the tzar came along and he stole the trumas chametz. He has to pay, like any other gazlan, according to its value. And that's called the fee. Lefi Damim Mishalim. Now all this is good in the case of Shogeg, but you remember in the case of in the Sefer of the Mishnah, it says that in the case of Mazi, he doesn't have to pay anything. Why is that so? Let's look at the Sefer. It says b'mezid potu min hatashlumin de'etzim. De'etzim is the case of Truma Tmeya, which we'll get to a little bit later. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is a mike potter min atashlumen mitveyetzim, why should the mezid be potter? I mean, after all, the truma in this case has a value, and the mezid should also be paying that value. Well, why do we alleviate the mezid from chiyuve gzela? You know, lefidon mishalim means you pay as a gazlan. Well, you stole something of value. The trumas chametz has value. We're holding like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. In other words, the Gemara is pointing out it's impossible to attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because if that be the case, there should be no difference between a shogeg and a mezid. In other words, the mezid is chayv b'toras gazlan. He should be chayv no less than the shogeg. Again, it could be the shogeg has an additional chiyuv of chomesh, and he has to be mechaper himself. But that's irrelevant to our point. The Mishnah says that a mezid is potter. What do you mean potter? How should he be potter? He stole truma from the kohen, and that truma has value because we're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So the Gemara at this point is going to introduce Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine. Our Mishnah not only reflects the Shita of Yosef Aglil regarding Chametz with Pesach Mutar Ba'Noah, it also reflects another Shita of Tanoim, and that's Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana with regard to Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine. Again, keep in mind, the Gemara is not trying to commit Rabbi Yosef Aglil to accept Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana or vice versa. The Gemara just happens to say that what the Gemara is saying is that our Mishnah here in Pesachim reflects a concoction here of two different shitas of Tanoim. It's an overlap. Let's call it a coincidental overlap. The author of our Mishnah happens to hold A, like Rav Yosef Aglil, that comes from Pesach Mutar Ba'Noah. And therefore, in the case of Shogeg, even though I hold the feet Dovim Mishalim, he's a Gazlan, he caused the Hefsid Mammon to the Kohen, and therefore you have to pay up. But at the same time, in the case of Mezid Yopata, because that Tanah Mishnah happens to maintain the Shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, which has a broader scope application of Kim Levi Rav. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Yoses Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos L'Tashlumin. What it means the following: If Ruvain burns down Shimon's haystack on Shabbos, and Shimon wants to sue Ruvain for damages, he cannot force Ruvain to pay damages because Shabbos is a cardinal sin. And as he was burning down his gaddish, his haystack, he was chayav misa for violating the Shabbos. Now, can we apply the same thing to Yom Kippur? If Ruvain burnt down Shimon's gaddish on Yom Kippur, you would think he'd have better things to do with his time on Yom Kippur, but instead he was out there making fires. And he burnt down Shimon's gaddish. Here in this case, there's no capital punishment. That's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos is a chiv skila. Yom Kippur is a chiv kares. So in this case, he has a chiv kapishmaya of kares. That's the onus that he has to suffer in the case of Yom Kippur. But there's no punishment in Bezdin. Now, if not for Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, and this is going to be the sheet of the Chacham that rejected Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, we would have assumed that Kim Levi Rabbi Mine is a directive to the Beis Din. And that directive says to the Beis Din, you can only impose one punishment for one action, for one criminal action. And the more severe punishment swallows up the less severe punishment. Okay, that's a directive to Beis Din. And that would apply certainly in the case of Shabbos, but it doesn't apply to the case of Yom Kippur, because in the case of Yom Kippur, the punishment for the crime of burning down someone's field on Yom Kippur is kares, and kares has nothing to do with Beis Din. That's a kind of misuvidei shamayim, and therefore, let's apply this principle to an ochel truma. Now, again, when we talk about ochel truma, we're talking about a Zarewitz Truma B'mezid. We're not talking about the case of Shogeg. In the case of Shogeg, clearly there's no punishment, and therefore there's no Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine. But what about the case of Mezid? There is a punishment, albeit Bidei Shamayim. There's going to be a certain death up in Shamayim, and not in Beis Din. So now the Ochel Trumas Chametz, Zare Shochel Trumas Chametz, B'mezid, should he be paying the Kohen? Well, the answer is that a chiyuv kares is also included in the Kim Levi the Rabbi, according to whom? Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Because Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana extends the law of Kim Levi Rabbi from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a chiyuv kares. Chametz b'Pesach is also a chiyuv kares. So when this czar eats the truma of his friend, which is chametz on Pesach, then he incurs a chiyuv kares. As a result of the chiyuv kares, he doesn't have to pay tashlumin. But that's only if I accept the shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. So the Gemara says that at this point, when we turn back to our Mishnah and see, does it prove lefi mida mishalim? The answer is no, because we can interpret our Mishnah as holding Lefi Domim Mishalim. Correct? Lefi Domim Mishalim. And we have now a very explosive combination here of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is going to justify why, in the case of Shogeg, he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. And where's the Lefi Domim Mishalim? What Bar Domim is? Because Chomitz Bar Domim, the answer is yes, Chomitz is a Bar Domim. It has a value because we all like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And we're going to explain the Sefer that the Mezid doesn't pay Tashlumin. Why? I mean, he's a Gazlan, but the answer is that in the case of Mezid, since he occurs a Chi of Karis for eating Chametz, therefore we apply the principle of Kimlei ben Ramine, and that's based on the Shita of Rav Nechunya ben Akone. Now it's interesting. There are two punishments, Bidei Shemayim, that are very similar. They're like two drops of water. We have to really figure out how to differentiate between the two. One is called kares, and the other is called misa bidei shamayim. Okay. Now, it's interesting that when we talk about a zar she'ochal truma, let's say he did it b'mezid, then we're talking about a chi of misa bidei shamayim. If we're talking about eating chametz, then we're talking about a chi of kares. Now, if you take Rav Nechunya ben Akana literally, and limited to the case that he addressed, namely Yom Kippur, we're not talking about Misa Bidei Shamayim in Yom Kippur, we're talking about Kares. So if let's say a Zar would eat Truma B'mezid, and it wasn't Chametz B'Pesach, it was the whole year round, then I'm not sure whether we could apply the principle of Nechunya ben Akana. Let me explain where I'm going with this. It could be that when the Gemara is applying Rav Nechunya ben Akana to say that Mezid, Azar B'Mezid, Ochel Truma, he doesn't pay Tashlumin, according to Rav Nechunya, he's talking about Chametz, because Truma's Chametz on Pesach has the same status in terms of punishment as Yom Kippur. They're both equal. That's called a Chiyuv Kares. But what would Rav Nechunya ben Akana say about a Chiyuv Misa B'Dei Shamayim? Now, what's the difference between the two? So if I understand this correctly, kares means not that God is going to, you know, is going to all of a sudden, you know, cause you to die. It means that you can't live beyond a certain age. Again, there are like five different shitas as to what kares is, but let's go with the, I call it the middle of the road shita, you know, the more popular shita. It means he's going to die before the age of 60. That's why I was told, I don't know if this is true historically, that many chachamim would make a big bash, a big celebration on their 60th birthday. Why? We're not into birthdays. The answer is yotze mechal kares. Okay, fine. Anyway, what we're talking about is machlokas shina bai v'rova mesetik suvistaf lamet. And according to Abaye, Rav Nechunya ben Akana applies even to the case of misa b'dei shamayim. That means that in a case of a zar shachal truma b'mezid, and he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, Abai says that according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, he's potter from mammon. Our sugya could theoretically reflect the sheet of Rava, who says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana doesn't apply to misa b'dei shamayim, it only applies to kares, because in our case, it's chametz b'pesach, and chametz b'pesach is a chiyuv kares. So that's the way the Gemara defends the position that Lefi Domim Mishalim, that the Tzar pays as a Gazlan. It's Chometz B'Pesach. The answer is we hold, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Chometz B'Pesach is Mutar Bano. Why doesn't the Mezid pay for Gzela? And the answer is because of Kimlei V'Ramine, based on the principle of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. At this point, the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokas, whether lefi damim mishalim or lefi midah mishalim, is actually the subject of machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva. That's called in the Gemara's language kitanoi. So the Gemara had a suffix, you know, the bnei yeshiva yboiluhu mishalim lefi midah mishalim or lefi damim mishalim. The Gemara is saying, I want you to know that this is a machlokas tanoi. Now, when we say that Chametz B'Pesach is Osir Bano, let's go back to the Havamina. The Gemara had trouble understanding, if you hold Lefi Domim Mishalim, how could it be that the Tzar is going to pay the Kohen for achilas truma, if it's a case of chometz bePesach, where's the lefi damim mishalim? We said the chometz is a lav bar damim. So here the poskim, this is if I turn the clock back about, I would say a century ago, when it became a little bit more popular and commonplace to travel from country to country, so the poskim actually came up with their own answer to the Gemara's question. And they're bothered by the fact that the Gemara itself didn't offer this solution. Meaning, we're looking for a case where the truma itself could be worth damim, even though it's chametz bePesach. Oh. So how could that be? So the answer is going to be, if let's say the kohen is in one location and the truma is in a different location. So let's try to see if we can construct this. Let's say that the kohen, I'll give the following example. The Kohen himself is, it's going to take me a few minutes, so bear with me. I just have to get the mathematics. The Kohen is celebrating Pesach in New York. And his chametz, which is truma, is in Eretz Yisrael, correct? So now, Pesach ends, right, it terminates 7 hours earlier in Eretz Yisrael than it does in New York. Is that correct? So far, so good? Chicago, you'd probably add another 2 hours. Right, okay. So another 1 hour, whatever it might be. Oh, so now, let's imagine what goes on over here. The Kohen himself is still holding Yontif, correct? The Chametz already is Ois Yontif, right? Because the Chametz is in Eretz Yisrael. If that be the case, then when the Tzar eats the Chametz, so then, well, you know what, let's turn it around the other way. Again, as I told you, I'm going to have to work this out of my mind a little bit. Let's say that the Truma would be in New York, let's say. And then I'll come back to the first case. I just want to work out it. So the Truma is in New York, and the Kohen is where? He's in Eretz Yisrael. Now, since it's after Pesach, as far as the Kohen is concerned, he's already Ois Yontif, right? So his Truma is now worth money. It's not Osir Banoach. Correct? It's not Osir Banoach. Well, if that be the case, then when the Tzar eats the Truma, he's causing a loss to the Kohen. Right? So, but it's still called Chametz because it's in New York and it's going to be another 7 hours until Yontif ends. So why couldn't the Gemara, in looking for a Hechatim, so that Chametz is also, I know, we're not holding like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, yet there would be Lefi Damin Mishalim, meaning as far as the Kohen is concerned, you've caused him a loss of Damin. So the Gemara says that's impossible. How can you say that he caused him a loss of damim in Chametz bePesach? Chametz bePesach is also banah. That was the Gemara's kasha, and that forced the Gemara to do somersaults in the air with Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So why is the Gemara bothered by that? Why didn't the Gemara just simply give the following case? You know why the Kohen has a right to demand payment? Because as far as the Kohen is concerned, it's no longer Pesach, and if it's no longer Pesach, then any achil of his truma is achilas truma. That's what? That's mutar banah. And if it's mutar banah, he has the right to claim lefi damim mishalim and claim gzela. Why does the Mishnah call it what? The Mishnah calls it chametz bePesach. Right? Truma's chametz bePesach, as I state in the Mishnah. The answer is, it's chametz bePesach because the chametz itself is in New York. And in New York at this moment in time, It's still Yontif. So the poskim wanted to derive from this a bombastic conclusion that chametz is asur banah depending upon where the chametz is located. It doesn't matter where the bialim is. And I, if I'm not mistaken, this was the Chuvas Marsham
And others, they came up with this logic. So again, let's see how that would impact. That would impact La Halacha L'Maisa if the chametz itself is located in a right. So let's say, for example, you have an Israeli who has chametz in New York. According to the Marsham, he's in trouble. Why? Because the rabbi is going to buy back his chametz as soon as they make Havdalah here in Eretz Yisrael, but the chametz is still Asur Banah because it's in Chutz Laretz, and it's going to be another 7 hours until Tzais Yontif there. So it turns out that the rabbi is buying back his chametz, and now the Yisrael is the proud owner of chametz when that chametz is Asur Banah. If it's Asur Banah, it means it's Bal Yorah Bayimotzeh, he's not allowed to own that chametz. So you have a real serious problem, and the only possible solution to that problem would be to either sell your chametz in New York, right, with a rabbi in New York, a guy in New York, or alternatively, to make a condition with the Arab here in Israel that, as far as my chametz is concerned, which is in New York, you're not going to buy back my chametz. I'm sorry, you're not going to sell back my chametz to me until 8 hours later, until 7 hours later. And again, you're going to have to do some serious backpedaling here in order to solve this problem. But it's very interesting because the conclusion that these poskim want to derive is that chametz doesn't depend, the Isur chametz doesn't depend upon where the bialim are located, but rather where the chametz is located. So the very fact that the Mishnah calls it chametz v'pesach, what the Mishnah is trying to convey is that the chametz is, it's still pesedik, this chametz, right? It's still asur v'pesach. And why? Because the chametz is located where there's still an Isur, it's the Isur chametz. Correct? And it wouldn't help me to say that the Bailim have already made Avdallah back in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, as far as they're concerned, the Chametz is Mutter. No, the Chametz can't be Mutter, because the Chametz is located in a place where it's still Yontif. For example, if I have Chametz in New York, correct? And anyone would eat that Chametz. Right? I'm in Eretz Yisrael, but and let's say I have a brother in New York, and he eats that Chametz, he's Chaya for that. So you see that the chametz is still chametz, and hence the Mishnah calls it chametz. But not only that, if you hold a fidame mishalim and somebody eats that chametz, there's no reason why the bialim could collect damages as a nigzal. Why? Because it's valueless. What do you mean it's valueless? For me, it's not yontif. Now, about, I would say, the gadol, about 75 years ago, maybe a little less, 70 years ago, there was a chief rabbi here in Yerushalayim named Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. I don't know if the name means anything to you. Anyway, he was the chief rabbi here in Yerushalayim, and he was very upset with this tshuva, the Marsham, and he disagrees with it. He says, no. You can't say that the Gemara should have given this as an explanation to the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is only talking about a case where the chametz, the truma, is located in a place where it's still Eretz Yisrael, and the bialim are located in a place where it is Eretz Yisrael, and why didn't the Gemara give that answer? That would have been the strangest answer in the world. The Gemara thinks it has a better answer. I could avoid all those complications. All I have to tell you is that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Yossi HaGalili, who holds that chametz is mutar b'anah, and the Sefer, as far as Mezid, the Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chunya ben Hakon and his Pekimle ben Ramine, and Shalom al Yisrael. That's a lot less of a dochak than to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the chametz is still holding yontif, and the bialim is in a place where he's already made avdol. And therefore, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank came to the conclusion that the Isur Hanov Chametz depends on the Bailim, where the Bailim are. In other words, again, it still has the same Chametz where it's located as far as somebody else who eats it. But as far as the Bailim is concerned, they don't violate an Isur Hanov if it's already Ois Yontif. And intuitively, Rav Frank is correct. I mean, how can you tell me that I'm Osir Hanov Chametz when I've already made Avdola? It's not Yontif for me anymore. Anyway, that's a fantastic what I call contemporary halacha. Kitanoi, I have a braisa which seems to record this very machlokas here about whether l'fi domim mishalim or
Lufi Mido Mishalim. We're talking about a case of a Zar Ha'ochel Trumas Chomes BePesach. Potter min atashlum min umidmei eitzim divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now you have to add one important premise here. The brisa that we're learning now, which records machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, is a brisa of shogeg, or at least includes shogeg. So ha'ochel trumas chametz pesach, even in the case of shogeg, is potter min atashlumin umidmei eitzim. That's against our Mishnah, but that's divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, on the other hand, reflects our sheet of that Mishnah. In the case of shogeg, at least, he's mechayev. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, what kind of business is this? How can you claim that a ochel trumas chametz bepesach b'shogeg is chayev tashlumin? V'chima no yeshlo ba. What benefit could the Kohen derive from Trumas Chametz BePesach? What loss did he suffer so such that you could clamp down on the Zar who ate this Truma, a Chiv Tashlumin? Basically, since Chametz is Osir Banah, it's valueless, and how then can you impose a fine and a financial payment on the Zar that ate this Truma? Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lo Rabbi Akiva. I'll ask you a question. There's one case in which you, Rabbi Akiva, agree that you pay, and that's the case of Truma Tmeya. So what happened? There was Truma, and then a sheretz fell on the Truma, became Tomei, and now a Zar comes and he eats that Truma. So he has to pay. What does he pay? After all, Truma Tmeya goes up in smoke, so it doesn't seem to have any value. And the Gemara is going to assume that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan Nuri insists that he has to pay for this is because Lefi Mido Mishalim, right? You have to replace the Truma. Even if the Truma that you ate that was destroyed has no value. So right now, at this point, the Gemara is making two premises. Premise number one is that Truma Tmeya has no value. Premise number two, Afal Pichen, the Tzar has to pay for the Truma that he ate, even though it's Truma Tmeya. That's called Tmei Eitzim, right? So according to Rabbi Akiva, we're in trouble now. Because Rabbi Akiva says that the Zar Ochel Truma pays only because of the loss of value. What value on the market does Truma Tmeya have when the Torah requires you to burn it? Oh, hello. So Rabbi Akiva turns back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and he says, I don't get your question. Lo imamayta b'truma tmeya b'shari mos hashon shafal pisha ein bo heter achila yesh bo heter adnoa. And what kind of heter adnoa? It's called a heter hasaka. With regard to truma tmeya, I have to burn it. And while I'm burning it, I can use it as fuel to heat up my oven. So it's mutar adnoa. In this case, adnoa is hasaka. And therefore, it's worth Eitzim. It has the same market value as Eitzim. Meaning Eitzim is your paradigm fuel. It's Tomar Bozeh. You're going to compare that to Trumas Chametz BePesach, which is Ein Lo Bo Lo Heta Achilu Lo Heta Asaka. There's nothing you can benefit. The Kohen cannot enjoy any benefits whatsoever from Truma, which is Chametz BePesach. I'll give you an example where for sure there would be no chiv tashlumin for truma because the truma's value is what would be the case is l'trumas tusim v'anovim shenitma. So you have truma from pomegranates or from strawberries or from grapes. Now these are very heavily liquidy fruits. So what are you going to do? If it's tameh, you can't eat it. Ella, what, you're going to use it for a sukkah? You can't use it for a sukkah. These things don't burn. And therefore, it's absolutely valueless. Says Rabbi Akiva, in such a case, the Tzar would not have to pay anything. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that tashlumei truma is lefi damin. So there are three cases that we're addressing. In one out of the three cases, Rabbi Akiva would agree that you have to pay, that there is we impose a chiyuv tashlum. In the other two cases, he denies it. Let's go through the three cases. Case number one is Trumas Chametz BePesach. And Rabbi Akiva insists, since he holds Lefi Dama Mishan, that Truma
of chametz is valueless, and if it's valueless, there's no chiv tashlum. Case number three, here also Rabbi Akiva would say you don't pay. Let's say you have trumas, tusim, vanovim, shenitma, because in this case, it's absolutely valueless to the kohen. Since it's tmeya, therefore it has to go up in smoke, so he can't benefit from it. I let him benefit from it as it's going up in smoke. The answer is he can't burn it. It won't burn. It's trumas tusim vanovim. So for technical reasons, in the reality of it, these trumas tusim vanovim shenitma are valueless. And if they're valueless, you cannot impose a chiyuv of tashlumin for someone who ate that truma, because payment for truma is gzela, is damim lefan, but there's no damim here. In which case does Rabbi Akiva agree that there would be tashlumin? That's the case of truma tmeya, of grains, where you know you can light it and the fire will go up, and that's called hasaka. It's a dry food, it's not a wet, liquidy food, and therefore it's got value to the kohen. In any event, if we just summarize the braisa the way we have it until this point, basically Rabbi Akiva is premised on lefi damim mishalim, and therefore you only pay. The Tzar will only pay Tashlumin if the Kohen suffered a loss of Damim. For example, the case of Truma Shenitma. But in all other cases where the Kohen did not suffer any loss, since Lefi Damim Shalom there's no Damim, for example, Trumas Chometz V'Pesach or Trumas Tusim V'Anovim Shenitmu, that's the Sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says no, in all these cases the Shogeg has to pay. And why? Because Tashlumei Shogeg is Lefi Mido Mishalim. He has a Chiv Kapara by replacing the Truma that he lost. So therefore, Ochel Trumas Chometz V'Pesach or Ochel Trumas Tusim V'Anovim Shenitmu, you have to pay for their Achila. You're not paying for a value that was lost to the Kohen, because these are valueless, but rather you pay the midah, meaning the to replace the volume of the truma. But we didn't finish with this braisa. Braisa now continues. Tamid varma murim. When do we say that there's a reality, there's a mitzius of trumas chametz v'pesach? And that's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva as to whether or not the Tzar who eats this Trumas Chometz Pesach should pay money. That's only b'mafris Truma v'hichmitza. Notice he had his kernels of grain, and he set aside from his grain Truma, and then later on that grain became Chometz. Aval mafresh trumas chametz. But if, let's say, the truma was already chametz, I'm saying the grains were already chametz before he set aside his truma. In other words, by the time he was mafresh the truma, was already chametz for Pesach. And then divrei hakol, everybody agrees, eda kedosha. It does not take hold. There's no valid Kiddushas Truma or Afroshas Truma. The Gemara is going to explain why a little bit later on. So it means like this. Even if I would hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Chometz B'Pesach is Mutter Manah, everyone would agree that if it's already Chometz, you cannot be Mafresh it as Truma. In other words, there's going to be a technical limitation or restriction in the laws of Afroshas Truma that are going to invalidate Hafroshas Chametz. So when we say Trumas Chametz, we're talking about a case where he was Mafreshed as Truma, and then it became Chametz. Because he can't be Mafresh Truma on something that's Chametz B'Pesach. Even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that Chametz B'Pesach is Mutar Banon. So if we would summarize where the Gemara is holding at this point, we have here a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri about the very essential question that we vacillated about, namely whether lefi damim mishalim or lefi midah mishalim. Tanya idach. Now we have a different braisa. The braisa starts by darshaning the pasuk. The pasuk is in Vayikrach of Beis, and this is the parasha of Tashlumei Ochel Truma B'Shogeg. It says, V'nasan la kohenes ha-kodesh.
What does it mean? V'nasan l'koenes hakodesh. After all, he's paying with fruits, with grains. That's not kodesh. But the answer is dover aroy lios kodesh. The Torah went out of its way to say es hakodesh, to tell you that that whatever the Tzar is offering as payment, it has to be something that could become truma. That's called roy lios kodesh. What's a coming lafuke? To exclude pratli ochel trumas chomeis bepesach. A person eats trumas chomeis bepesach, and if he's going to pay up on Pesach, then in this case the tashlumin will not become truma, because you cannot take chomeis and make it into truma on Pesach. There is no such thing. And therefore, in this case where he eats trumas chametz bePesach, then it's not truma, correct? Not that it's not truma. Again, it became truma before it became chametz, right? As we said before, but he can't pay. He can't pay and replace the truma. Why? Because if he replaces the truma, then it cannot be kodesh. It's not Roy Leo's kodesh. Why? Because truma chametz with Pesach doesn't become kodesh. Meaning, you can't be mafrish something and endow it with kedushas truma if it's chametz with Pesach. So, in such a case, if he was mafrish truma chametz with Pesach and it's not kodesh, therefore potter ben atashlum nidvei eitzim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. No, there's no chiv to pay because it's not true. The Rabbi Elazar Chisma, sorry, Mechayev. He says that a ochel trumas chometz with Pesach b'shogeg has to pay keren v'chomesh. So now we have machlok between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Eliezer. So Amalo Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov the Rabbi Elazar Chisma. So we have two people with a very similar first name, not exactly the same. One is Rabbi Eliezer, the other is Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you're chayav here, I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you're potter here, he turns to Rabbi Lazar, and he says to him, v'chima no yesh lo ba. In other words, in the case of Trumas Chametz B'Pesach, even if you don't accept the drasha that we mentioned before, then still, how could you possibly penalize him and force him to pay compensation when the truma is chametz and chametz has no value? Amalo Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yezid ben Yaakov, v'chima hano yeshlo li ochel truma tmeya b'shayimos hashana shemeshalim. Remember, we had a whole discussion here about truma tmeya, which has to be burnt. And yet the Tzar has to pay for Truma Tmeah if he eats the Truma Tmeah. So you see that payment is not dependent upon its value. And therefore you should admit to me that Trumas Chametz should pay Tashlumin. Almalos, Rabbi Lesman Yaakov says no. And he gives the same logic that we saw early in Rabbi Akiva. Lo emamaita b'truma tmeah b'shayimos hashana shafal pishayin lo ba heter achila yesh ba heter hasaka. Right, you can burn it as fuel. Is Tomar, what does that have to do with Bazu, the alley case of Chumas Chametz with Pesach? She'en lo ba lo heter achila lo heter hasaka. There's no, in the case of Chumas Chametz, what are you going to do with Chumas Chametz? You can't eat it, you can't use it as fuel, it's also by no. Omar lo, so the laws of Bechasma says to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, af bezu, even in the case of Chumas Chametz and Pesach, yesh lo bo heter asoka. How is that so? What does it mean, heter asoka? You're talking about Chametz and Pesach. Shim rotza kohen, meritzo lefnei kalbo, omasiko tachas tavshilo. So at this point, Rabbi Elazar Chasma quotes the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And remember, I asked you many times, how can you be chayav tashbisu and yet it's mutar banor? The Torah says it has to go up in smoke. So he gives two answers to that question. One is he feeds it to his dog, and we'll see that also is tashbisu. That's one way of destroying his chavetz. And the other possibility is that he uses it as fuel. Now, in terms of feeding his dog, so I just want to read to you this footnote here.
He says the following. He says that this only applies to Trumas Chometz Tahora, but Trumat Meya also Vashloch Lekelev, Lefisha Dino Besreifa. So he makes a distinction here between Trumat Meya and Trumat Tahora. That Trumat Tahora, you're allowed to feed it to your dog. Now, I'm not exactly sure why you're allowed to feed it to your dog. Oh, I know why you're allowed to feed it. Because since it's not royal achilas onam, because we're talking about chametz bePesach, so he's not being mafkia kedushas truma by feeding it to his dog. The Torah says tashbisu. So the answer is, I could feed it to... That's also a method of tashbisu. So we have machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda and chachamim back at the beginning of our perek. Had to be makayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Hashbasa El Bistrefa, and the Chacham Old Hashbasas Mechol Dover. So our sugya now of Rabbi Loza Chasma reflects the sheet of the Chachamim, that Hashbasas Mechol Dover, and you can destroy Chametz in any manner, shape, or form, even if you feed it to a dog. Now, if Chametz was also by Noah, you'd not be allowed to feed it to your dog, but we're going according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Chometz is mutar by Noah. The only problem is I can't be mafkia, I can't be mevatel the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The answer is, as long as it's getting destroyed, that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So any Anah that I benefit, toch kidei the Tashbisu, the Hashbasa, is mutar because I'm holding like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So how do I get any benefit, toch kidei Hashbasa? So two possibilities. Either I use the Chometz as fuel, and I burn it to create heat in my oven, or alternatively, I feed it to my dog, and the dog consumes the chametz. And since chametz is mutar by Noah, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu, and the chametz now goes up in smoke. So now I both say we're up to the other side of the heart, the other side of the lev. I mean, that's lamed beis, amid beis. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Lozman and Yaakov, Rabbi Akiva, both of whom hold that ha'ochel trumas chametz v'pesach ha'patur, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who also back in the first brisa says that yipatur is kulu svirle chametz v'pesach ha'subadno, ubaha pligi, to Rabbi Akiva sabal if he dum mishan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri sabal if he midah mishan. So the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is whether or not tashlumi trumas lefi damim or lefi midah. So since Rabbi Akiva holds lefi damim, chametz v'pesach clearly is also by Noah, and therefore it's valueless. There's no chiyuv damim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, on the other hand, holds lefi midah mishalim, that he has to replace the truma not as tashlumi gzela because of hefzid mamon. So Gemara says pshita. What is by adding that we didn't know before? Is there another possibility? So Gemara says, "Ma'od the same. I could have thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri nami ki Rabbi Akiva svirale diamal lefi damim mishalim." Even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that you pay lefi damim, but you can now introduce the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The hasam and the brisa, how many times to come a chayv? Why do you have to pay for chametz? The answer is sovele ki Rabbi Yossi Aglili diamal chametz and pesach muter behana. Is Kamash Molon, that's what Abai wants to say. No, that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agrees that Chametz Pesach is also by Noah. But why does he pay Tashlumin? Because Lefi Mido Mishalem. Okay, fine. V'yem Achinami. So the Gemara now attacks Abai and says, okay, you know, if Abai's Hamamina was that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the reason why, even though the Fidom Mishalim, he has to pay for the truma is because it's Mutar by Noah, is that such a strong Hamamina? V'yem Achinami. Maybe that's in fact true. How do you know which birdie whispered in your ear, Abai, that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we hold the chametz with Pesach is also by Noah against Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So the Gemara answers him, Cain, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held that chametz v'pesach is mutar by Noah, now hadalei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva, ki echi d'mahadalei Rabbi Loza Chasma, Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov. Right, we saw that Rabbi Loza Chasma, who holds like Rabbi Yosef Glili, he turns to Rabbi Elez ben Yaakov, and he says the reason why you pay for trumas chametz v'pesach is because yesh ba heter asoka.
right? Or you're allowed to take the Trumas Chametz and feed it to a dog. So therefore, that would have been the logical answer that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri should have given to Rabbi Akiva. Namely, that it is, that even if it's Lefi Domin Mishalem, well, there's Domin here because it's Mutabad No, like Rabbi Lozbe Chasma said. The fact that he didn't give that answer proves that he held that the Chometz V'Pesach is Aser Bano, like the Chachomer of Yossi Aglili, and nevertheless he pays for Tashlume Truma Midin Lefi Midah Mishalem. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that the shear of Achilas Truma B'Shogeg in order to be Chai of Kerem Mishchomish. How much do you have to eat? Tana Rabbanon, we're talking about a zar, ha'ochel, kazayis, truma, if he eats a kazayis, is mishalim, kerem v'chomesh. Abashol omer hachiebo, shove pruta. It doesn't matter what the volume is, how much you ate, but it matters what the value is, the market value. By time of the Tanakhama, what led the Tanakhama to hold that you need a shear of kazayis? Omer kro, the Torah says, v'yikuchav beis, v'ish ki yochal kodesh, b'shkoga, I'll read the end of the pasuk. It says, "V'yosaf chamisha so olav v'nasan l'kohenes hakodesh." In any event, the Torah says, "V'ishki yochal kodesh." His achila is b'kizayis. When the Torah introduces the chiyuv of kerem v'chomesh, it says, "Ishki yochal kodesh," and achila means kizayis. Abashol, my timer. How is he going to justify the fact that achilas truma depends upon a shavapruta when the Torah says ishki yochal? And the Gemara answers, Omar Kra, the pasuk says v'nasan, and it says v'nasan l'kohenes hakodesh. So the lashon of the Torah is nesina, that you have to give, you have to give truma back to the kohen to replace the truma that he ate. Is v'ein nesina pachas mishavapruta? Okay, ein nesina pachas mishavapruta. But that still doesn't explain why he could be chayav for less than a kezayis. I mean, the Torah does say achila. So this is the Tosus here, Dibra Maslavi Ein. And the question here is, if we assume that the chayav of achilas truma is lefidame v'shan, it's a din of gzela, then we understand that Avishol says it all depends upon Shavius, upon Shavapruta. But if you're going to say Lefi Midah Mishalim, then we're not talking about Shavapruta, we're talking about a volume, and the volume has to be a Kezayis. So the Gemara asks, V'idoch Nami, what is Avishol going to do with the Pasuk Haksiv Yochal, which implies that you need a Lashon, that for the Lashon Achila you need an Achila. And you're not chai with less than an achila. And in Kol Tarkula, achila means kizayis. And the Gemara answers, "Ahu prat lemazik hu diosa," that posk is coming to exclude a case of a mazik, meaning that he's only chai if he eats the truma, but he's not chai if he destroys the truma. Now, what's the din if he destroys the truma? So that has the same din as destroying anyone's chul, even if it was chulin and not truma. The Tanakama holds that you need a shear of kizayis, haksiv and nasan, and we know that nesina is a shavapruta. And he answers, "Ahu, what is it going to do with the word v'nasan? It's not coming to tell you the shear of achila, but rather miboyle we need it for dover aroy liels kodesh." It means that when it says v'nasan l'kohen es hakodesh, it teaches you that something that's royal lios kodesh, as opposed to chametz, which is not royal lios kodesh. Again, we still don't know why chametz is not royal lios kodesh. So, Rabosi, let's take a pause over here. If I can, does anybody have a pencil that I can borrow by any chance? Pen I have. I don't know. It's a. Don't ask me to explain it, but I try not to write with a pen in the Gemara. I don't know, since I'm a kid. I never knew why, but. So what we're up to here is Tana Rabbanan. And again, we're going to discuss whether Achilas Truma is the Kezias or it's Bishama Pruta. Where it depends upon the Mida or it depends upon on the Gzela aspect, on the Dhamim aspect. Now this sugya of Truma that we're learning is a long, long sugya. So what I need is some of your feedback here, because I notice that some of you are finding, and I don't blame you for this, that this sugya is very, very difficult. And I'm just wondering, we're not going to finish Masechta Pesachim, I don't think. So maybe what we should do is, at this point, perhaps, again, I'm just throwing it out, don't kill me for asking, we should fast forward to the sugyas at the end of Perikol Shah. Take a look on Daf Lamed Hey, and that Mishnah is a very important Mishnah, and this is going to give us the whole basis for Orez. You know, the Sfaradim will eat rice on Pesach. We Ashkenazim don't eat rice on Pesach. There are a few Sfaradim that don't eat rice on Pesach. I think the Moroccans don't eat rice on Pesach. But technically, according to the sugya, we'll see on Daf Lamed Hey, you're allowed to eat rice on Pesach. And the Gemara goes through a whole long list of what you can use in order to bake matzahs. So you know there's something called gluten-free matzahs. Have you heard about it?
Mm-hmm.
So that issue of gluten-free matzahs is really here on Daf Lamed Hey. And at the end of the day, if you take a look at the Mishnah mentions five species of grains. Correct? One of them is called Shibola Shul. Now, again, I'm not sure that Shibola Shul is called oats. We translate it as oats. I think in the Mishnah's language, it was not oats. We'll look up Steinsalz and all the other things on wine. But if you would assume that oats, maybe it comes under a different name, but it's one of the five species of grains which the Mishnah says you can use for chametz, then there are such things as oats which are gluten-free. I'm not sure if they're 100% gluten-free or 99.9% gluten-free. But in any event, you could make matzah out of oats. They're not the tastiest matzahs in the world. I saw on the box it says you should heat them up before you eat it. You know, so I think they were trying to imply that, you know, it's not so tasty. So this is on Daf Lamed Hey. So we have three blot left officially until we get to Lamed Hey. So is there anyone who objects to skipping? You know, when we got to the first pack, we skipped a whole bunch of blot, what's called Rav Chanina Maskan Kohanim, because I didn't have the head for taros, and I really wanted to sink my teeth more into Pesachim, instead of Pesachim. So if there's no major objection here, and instead of taking a democratic vote like they do in this country, I'm going to make the decision that maybe, you know, I'll think it over overnight to be sure, give myself a little... that maybe at this point it would be kedai to learn the last part of Kol Shah, because the last part of Kol Shah is much more Pesach oriented, and since it's Erev Pesach, I don't think it's a bad idea. You know, if we get to the Mishnah Lamed Tes, for example, which is only four blot later, we're going to learn what Marah is all about, and that's also a fascinating thing. We may need a lot of biology for that, or botany, you know, to figure out what these various species are that are roy from Marah. But I think we're on much more solid territory. And then after Pesach, we can decide what we want to do. If anybody has any ideas, whether they want to continue in Pesachim or maybe pick up another Masechta, you'll let me know. All right then? So I'll wish everyone a great day.